You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. Big day to look forward to as well, with the first day of the May Festival at Chester. We've also got racing on the flat at Brighton, jumping from Kelso, and in the evening it's all the racing from Chelmsford and jumping at Uttoxeter. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stevie?
Hello, Mark. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Good week of racing coming up. I always enjoy the May meeting at Chester.
Well, it's a good time of year just in general, isn't it, really, to be honest. Obviously, we had the Guineas just gone. We've got Chester the weekend. We've got Ascot. We've got Haydock. Derby trials at Lingfield. Then next week, we're into York. And then we get a couple of not quiet weeks, but they're not as full on. And then we're into the Derby. Then it's Royal Ascot and it all kickstarts again.
It does.
So it's exciting time of year.
Yes. You mentioned the Guineas in there. We saw Legatissimo, an impressive winner in the 1,000 Guineas. She's now market leader for the Oaks because Found was beaten on Monday. Legatissimo is 7-2. The Aidan O'Brien and Found is 5-1. Then 10s for Star of Seville. Beautiful Romance is 12s with Jazzy Top. And 14s or bigger for the others. Based on that, would you side with Legatissimo over Found? Because for me, I don't think Found lost too much in defeat. The fact that it was really heavy ground brings into her stamina, the fact that he was so testing, and she was probably just run out of it in the end. Does that make a concern for you towards the Oaks?
Not particularly, no. I mean, I'd have more concern about whether she's going to stay, to be honest, about her run yet than her run yesterday.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's won over a mile twice at the Curragh and Longchamp when she won the Marcel Boussac. She's run twice at Severn and been beaten. And as you say, the majority of Aidan O'Brien's horses have needed their run this season. To be fair, they've had a few hot pots turned over, including her. And, I mean, it was no great surprise. It's like, yeah, she probably should have won, but the ground was terrible. It was over 7 furlongs, which is probably going to be a little bit on the sharp side for her as she gets older. But I do have concerns about whether she will stay or not. Although she's by Galileo, who obviously won the Derby, he was a horse who stayed a mile and a half, but I don't think he wasn't an out-and-out stayer by any means. And Red Evie of the Dam was a miler, and she didn't get a yard over a mile. So I'd be more concerned with Found about her staying the trip personally in the Oaks than her run. I have not really fussed either way about her run yesterday. I'm indifferent. Showed that she's ran all right, you know, she's still got the ability. Conditions didn't suit, fair enough.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was aiming to get at, really, because the fact that if she'd have stayed on strongly in that testing ground over the shorter trip, you'd say, well, she'll have no problem with the Oaks. But she's tired in the closing stages, which maybe just thinks, well, if she's tiring over the shorter trip, I know it was heavy ground.
Yeah. Now, Aidan O'Brien also mentioned the Irish 1,000 Guineas for her after that, I believe, which means then there'd be quite a short gap to the Oaks, less than 2 weeks. I think it's 12 days. Now, I mean, I know Legatissimo won 7 days after Goran, but that was, you know, a listed race that she won easily, where he found, you know, hard push to win the Irish 1,000 12 days later into the Oaks would be a fairly tough ask. And at this moment in time, of the two, I would prefer Legatissimo. And also, fair on pedigree, she's by Dane Hill Dancer, who horses generally stay between 8 and 10 furlongs. She's already won over 9.5, and she's out of a Monjour mare. So I don't see any reason why she wouldn't see out the trip personally on out of the two. And although she wasn't, you know, she wasn't really well fancied in the Guineas, and a lot of people said it maybe wasn't the strongest Guineas, you know, the form horses have been behind her with the likes of Lucida and Fadil not far away, etc. And of the front two, Found and Legatissimo at this stage, I think it's probably Legatissimo. Well, it's not probably. I do prefer Legatissimo. But I also like Beautiful Romance, the Godolphin filly in the Oaks, who's 12-1. She was due to run in the 1,000 Guineas but missed it. And there's a chance now she may line up in the Musidora, I believe, at York. She's by new approach, obviously won the Derby. Cape Cross has sired, who's the dam sire, sired classic winners in his own right over the course and distance at Epsom. And I like her. She's a really lovely, nice, big horse. I think she's a really nice individual. Beautiful romance. And if you sort of gave me a tenner and said you've got to have a bet on the Oaks now, that she'd be the one I'd back.
All right. With regards to the Derby as well, Jack Hobbs, 6-1 market leader there. 7-1 for Zorak. Elm Park is 8s with John F. Kennedy. 10s for Giovanni Canaletto and Highland Reel. Oldman River is 12s with Sir Isaac Newton and 14s or bigger for the others. The Derby picture still pretty much wide open, and they're talking about Jack Hobbs going to the Dante. There's also talk of Oldman River going to the Dante, and it's warming up to be a cracker on the nerves, wire.
It will do indeed, yeah. And we've got, you mentioned... did you mention Sir Isaac Newton there? Because he's entered in the he's entered at Chester as well.
Yeah, 12-1 for Sir Isaac Newton.
Yeah, he's entered at Chester, and he's only had one run so far this week. Obviously, you've got the Chester Vars this week as well, and the Derby Trials at Lingfield at the weekend.
Yeah.
So the next sort of 10 days or so are going to be quite an important period in terms of how the Derby market's shaping up. I mean, Jack Hobbs... beforehand, spoke to a colleague of ours in Andy Holding. He said he recorded the horse doing the fastest ever maiden time that he'd got ever at Wolverhampton when he won there over Christmas. And obviously, he absolutely bolted up when he won at Sandown. Stiff 10 furlongs there, you know, and there's no reason on that evidence again why he shouldn't stay. There's plenty of stamina in the pedigree with Swain being his damn sire. And I think probably at the moment, I don't want to say he's a worthy favourite, but I can see why he is. Elm Park, got all the concerns about the ground with him. And obviously, they might think, because it's the Derby, if you're going to chance him on decent ground once, the Derby's the race to do it in, I suppose, you know, as opposed to constantly doing it all the time. John F. Kennedy, he's 10-1 now. He's been favoured all during the winter. He'll probably win at Leopardstown on Sunday because he's running in the Derringstown Stud Derby Trial, I'd have thought. And if he does win on Sunday, he's going to be probably favourite or joint favourite again with Jack Hobbs. If you like John F. Kennedy, back him before Sunday, I would suggest. I think Christopher Marlowe's a very interesting horse. It's interesting that his dam's called Dress Rehearsal, because I think that's what John Gosden's been planning with him. He's running him at Epsom twice so far. I know the Epsom Derby Trial hasn't got a great record, but he won at Sandown pretty comfortably first time out. The race he won at Epsom at the second time of asking last year, where he beats three other horses, but there were three bad horses. And it's the same with the Sandown race. It wasn't a bad race either. He beat Future Empire, who got solid form in the Derby Trial there as well. And I think he's an interesting runner. But, I mean, you could go through them at this stage and make a case for half a dozen of them and probably still not pick the winner, to be honest. I'd say it's an open affair, but I think by the time we get there, we might have a couple that have broken clear at the top. I would think that if Jack Hobbs wins the Dante and John F. Kennedy wins the Derringstown Stud Derby Trial, those two will be clear joint favourites, or those two will be clear at the top of the betting after we've been at York.
Yeah. Just quickly as well, before we move on, while we're on the subject of the Guineas and Newmarket, you were there.
I was.
The new cutaway rail. It seemed to work.
I thought it worked quite well, to be honest, because, I mean, there's been several examples when the stalls have been in the middle, they split into two groups and you get an unsatisfactory race. You know, obviously last year's was one, in Kingman not winning, and he was the best horse in the race. Rock of Gibraltar and Hawkwing's another example. The Cockney Rebel one would be another example. So I think in order to alleviate that, bringing them onto the rail and then giving them the option of cutting away, I think makes it a level playing field for everyone. I think over the 2 days, there were no hard luck stories particularly. The best horse won the majority of the race. Well, I think probably best horse. Yeah, the majority in terms of group races anyway and the form races, the best horses won. I thought it was fine. I thought it worked. I don't see any reason to not at least give it another try, which is what is intended at the next meeting when there's 3 days of racing.
Yep.
Might be some big fields, you know, again, and will give us some, you know, 5 days worth of examples. And if it works, then why not keep it as it is?
Yeah. Celestial Path was Sir Mark Prescott's first runner in the Guineas. Unlucky, really, with the draw. The draw's still an issue there, isn't it? Even if the lucky running isn't the case. But apparently they're aiming at Royal Ascot and several others that are considered going to Royal Ascot as well in the paper today. Any of them stand out? I mean, we've got the likes of Home of the Brave and Ivorwood, and he might go for the Irish 2,000 Guineas. What do you make of it?
Well, in terms of Ivorwood, I thought, yeah, he stayed, but he didn't really shape as though he's going to be a star miler for me. He's had two runs this season, ran well in both of them, but just lacking a little bit of edge. And I think that sort of physical edge he had on horses last year as a two-year-old, because he was a really big, muscular horse, may now have been levelled out as the others have sort of grown and sharpened up a little. With Ivorwood. Celestial Path actually ran a very good race. Yeah, he was drawn one, he ran very well. I think he will need to be kept to decent ground. I don't think he'll like bad ground. But it wasn't a bad run. Home of the Brave, I think, needs to go down in trip. Mohit, he was unlucky because obviously Frankie had a bit of trouble at the start and got a bit shuffled back as a result of that towards the rear of the field. I'm convinced he's going to win a good race, Mohit. At some point, when it will be, is a different kettle of fish, I suppose. And then, Estid Car was the biggest disappointment. And Old Man River, Joseph wasn't hard on him at all because, you know, he was a little bit green, to be honest, and didn't really, didn't really have much of a clue of what to do or where to get involved, which, considering he's had two runs, I thought was a bit interesting. But he didn't knock him about, and they've mentioned that they might go to the Dante with him. So he's obviously come out of the race fine. And, you know, he was eased off long before he ever thought of, you know, he's ended up basically just cantering home for the last three furlongs. So I just forget he even turned up, to be honest, with Old Man River. And he will go on to better things. So, yeah, there were disappointments. I think there's horses that are going to win good races. But I do, as I said before, I do think the best horse won. And if they all met again, I think Glen Eagles will probably win again as well.
Yeah, I think the best horse won as well. Mm. Estid Car was the disappointment. The ground was too dry, though, wasn't it? I think the plan is to wait for a bit more rain and give him a bit of a break and bring him out when there's a bit of cut underfoot.
I don't know. It was good to firm. It was much quicker on Sunday than it was on Saturday.
Overnight,
even though we did have a little bit of rain, but it wasn't a lot. I reserve judgment on him at the moment, Estid Car, because I think in a way it was too bad to be true. I think it was too bad that he couldn't have just been the ground, personally, because it wasn't like a road. And he ran very well in the green, and I fancied him and I backed him as well, and he finished he was beaten a long way out. I'd be surprised if it was just, it might have been the ground and two or three other things. I'd be surprised if it was just solely the ground in the long term, but it might be 6 months before we find that out, which point really it's no good to anybody, is it?
A good point well made, I think. Anything else got your eye before we move on?
I like that. Actually, we mentioned the Oaks, and I didn't mention her. There's Dermot Weld filly, who was runner-up in the Pretty Polly Stakes. Obviously, Dermot Weld doesn't send many horses over to the UK.
Xander, was it?
Xander, yes, it was. She's been a length and a half. If they both turned up in the Oaks, I wouldn't be surprised if she reversed the form with Jazzy Top. She was a nice-looking horse, was Xander. Nice filly.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's get Stephen's best bets for the opening day of the Chester May meeting.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We're going to look at four races at Chester, starting in the 2:40, which is the Cheshire Oaks. It's a filly's listed race of a mile and three furlongs. It's for the three-year-olds, and Diamonds and Rubies heads the market at 9-4, 6-1 for Victoria Pollard, 7s for Banzari, Loaves and Fishers, and What Say You are both 8-1, 9s for Sweet Dream, and 10s are all bigger for the others. In O'Brien's got quite a decent record in this race. It always has to be taken note when he sends one over for Chester. What do you make of this favourite?
She's a very well-bred filly, Diamonds and Rubies. Can't argue with that. By Fascinate Rock out of Quarter Moon. And Quarter Moon was a very good racehorse for Aidan O'Brien about 10 years ago, I think, in these colours. She was classic placed. She was placed in the Irish 1000, the Oaks at Epsom, and the Irish version as well. And she also won the Moyglare Stud. So she was a very good horse, Quarter Moon. I was slightly disappointed with her. I mean, she ran on well enough at Navan, but I was slightly disappointed because she'd been really taking at Tipperary the time before. But obviously, she was only her third start. And as you say, you know, Ryan Moore is riding outstandingly at the moment. Well, I say at the moment, it's just generally outstanding, to be fair. And as you said, O'Brien's got a good record. And she's rightful favourite, I would say. But there are some nice fillies in there in behind. You've got one or two nice bits of form. And, you know, sometimes these O'Brien hot pots do get turned over. I was really taken by Victoria Pollard, I have to say, at Newbury when she won there. Firstly, I mean, Andrew Balding's horses don't win first time out very often, ever. But she stayed on well. She got a lovely stride. She was doing her best work late at the finish and stayed on really nicely. Got a lot of pedigree, a lot of stamina in the pedigree, so the extra trip won't be a problem for her. What does concern me, though, is the track for her, because the long home straight, I thought, at Newbury really helped her in sort of stride out and gallop on well, but obviously that's not going to happen at Chester. She might be a little bit more streetwise now she's had that start, but I'd prefer it if she was maybe running at York instead, or even Lingfield, because although that's downhill, they've got a bit more of a longer straight for her to get going. Banzari was taken out of a race at Newmarket at the weekend because of the quickish ground, and good to soft at Chester should be perfect for her. She ended the season pretty nicely with that emphatic win over at Nottingham. And Michael Bell's horses aren't running well, aren't running too badly, I should say. Are running well, aren't running too badly in this early part of the season. I mean, he's had, five winners in the last fortnight, which from a yard that generally get better as the year goes on, it's not at all disappointing. And then we've got Loaves and Fishes, who won a Haydock maiden. And What Say You also thought was a nice filly. She won a Newmarket maiden and was sixth to Lucida in the Rockfell with Faddy Hill and New Providence all in there as well. So that was a good race from What Say You on that occasion. In terms of horses that I like, I like Victoria Pollard a lot, but I just think the way the track is and the circumference, I think it's hard to really see past Diamonds and Rubies. She's probably shown the best form. Well, she has shown the best form, really, overall. Aidan O'Brien's got a great record. It's a bit obvious and not very original, but I think she'll win. And if I was going to back a horse each way, I'd probably back What Say You. She's got a really nice pedigree. Ray Guest does well with his fillies, as we know. And I'd say that form is not too bad with Lucida over a trip that was maybe a little bit on the sharp side for her.
The 3:10 at Chester is the Chester Cup, a heritage handicap over 2.25 miles. It's a nice big field of 17 here. Dr. Marwan Kukash has owned the winner of the last two renewals, and he's just got the 5 in this year's, Stephen. Do you see him having a good chance of winning it again?
I would say so, yeah. I think he's probably got a fair chance of winning it as well, because he's got two that are particularly prominent in the betting, in Angel Gabriel and Gabriel's King. And then obviously he's got Suju, won the race last year, Gabriel's Star and Duke of Clarence. Of those, I think probably Gabriel Starr's the least likely to win, in my view. But I wouldn't be surprised if any of them did, because it's just one of those things that would happen, really, you know, for Marwan Kukash. Obviously, the favourite is Quick Jack for Tony Martin and Richard Hughes. Now, Tony Martin's horse has been running really well also. They're a yard that are going well. They had a double at Down Royal on Monday. They had a double at Punchestown at the end of last week as well. And they had winners at Perth also last week. So going well. The horse has got good form. Obviously, in the county hurdle, he was third. He was third in the Cesarewitch last year. And he basically just picks his way through big handicaps, flat and jumps. And although he was third in the Cesarewitch last year, which obviously is quite a stiff 2 miles too, I do think he was maybe outstayed. So the sort of tighter turns of Chester, although it's 147 yards further than the Cesarewitch, might just help him a little bit. But I'm still vulnerable. I think he might be vulnerable to a horse that will stay really well. I expect a very good run from him, but I think it might be interesting to take him on. Angel Gabriel, 9 stone 10, is going to be a fair effort to carry that. Although he did carry 9 stone 2 when runner up to Suju and only beaten half a length last year, but it's off a £15 higher mark. If you can't win it off 91, surely you can't win it off 106. Gabriel's King, he won off 88 the last time he was successful. He's ran well the last twice at Ripon and at Wolverhampton, and I think he may well come on a little bit for that run. And I think of all the Kukash runners, Gabriel's King is probably the one I prefer the most. I have to say, we mentioned before about Dermot Weld not firing those darts very often here in Britain. A big step up in trip on the flat, and there's not a great deal of stamina in there, but he has been placed over hurdles. He won well against Cab Joy on the 12th of April, but that was at a time when the Dermot Weld horses really were motoring quite considerably, and they're still having winners as well, a couple of winners at the Curragh on Sunday, and I think he probably will be the selection, Zafayan. I think Dermot Weld's probably had it planned for him for a while. I think Mubaratsa, who's run well in this race several times, won a good race as well.
Okay, Zafayan for Stephen. Just spinning through the betting there because it is on site already. Quick Jack 11-2, 8-1 for Angel Gabriel and Gabriel's King. Zafayan is 9-1, 11 for Trip to Paris. Abuthalazy and Mubaratsa are both 12s and 14-1, or bigger prices for the others. The 345 at Chester is the Boodles Diamond Handicap. It's a Class 2 event over 5 furlongs. And I was looking at B52 to start with here, Stephen, because he's only been to Chester twice and won both times over course and distance, but needs the return to the Rudy to spring him back to life a little bit.
He does a little bit, yeah. I mean, he's only £4 higher than his last win, which was in August of last year here at Chester. But he went up in grade after that. He ran in 3 of his last 4 runs have been in listed races. I mean, he didn't run badly at Shanty, to be fair, in October. He was only beaten 4 lengths. And I think he's got a decent draw. Frankie's on board and back to Chester. I think he's got a pretty good chance. And I prefer him to the Philly Blythe Spirit, who's marginally above him in the betting as we discuss this. To mention one or two, Confessional's got some really good form in big handicaps over the last like 5 years, pretty much. He's pretty solid. He's also won here as well on soft ground. In fact, I think it was this race he actually won back in 2012 off a mark of 95. He's off 91 here, and he will have had the pipes opened at Ripon on ground that was A, probably too quick for him, and B, over 6, and I think he's better over 5, but he is drawn out in 8, is Confessional. And Ballesteros is another horse whose form, if he wants to put his best foot forward, he can actually win this race. And he ran well, not beaten all that far by B52 last year. But again, he's got a wide draw, and that is a worry. B52, I think, is going to be bang up there throughout. And I think Confessional at 10-1, you'll get a good run for your money from him as well. Both of those, I think, will enjoy coming back to Chester.
Yep, and the Timmies to be yarding pretty good nick at the moment.
They
well,
are so. Now, yeah. They took a while to warm up, yeah. But now they have done and are rolling pretty swiftly along.
The 525 at Chester is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for the 3-year-olds. Significant non-runner here, Peter Hoff, as well, from the Sir Michael Stoutyard, doesn't go. So I imagine we'll see Secateur somewhere near the top of the market for John Gosden. Frankie Dettori in the saddle. Secateur hit the crossbar on a couple of occasions in maidens at Goodwood and Pontefract. Won a 3-runner weak maiden at Doncaster last time, but did it in good fashion. And John Gosden and Frankie Dettori seem to be taking all before them at the moment.
Yeah, they do indeed. Yeah, Secateur, obviously, I think having, showed steady improvement in his form, will have, had his confidence boosted by such an easy coast round Doncaster, to be honest, as you say. He really did. He did bolt up there. But there are some nice horses in here. Hernando's Hideaway is a horse who appreciate the step up in trip, I think, quite a lot, having managed to win over 7 furlongs last year, which was a good effort and was only nudged out to do so, to be honest. He didn't have to be hard-pressed. Not never improved for his first run at Goodwood when he was only, 8 lengths behind Secateur to win at Redcar shortly afterwards. Graceland again. I mentioned Michael Bell. Managed to win a tin pot maiden at Wolverhampton. But again, confidence would have been done good, and the horses are in good form. And that's not mentioning Paddy's Motorbike and recently acquired, who also both won last time out. Really good, nice race this one at Chester. I think Secateur is going to be better than a horse rated 79. He's slowly learning his craft, and I think he's going to be hard to beat. The danger, I think, will be Hernando's Hideaway. He'll relish this step up in trip for Michael Dodson. Again, said it several times, another yard where the horses are going okay.
Fantastic. Let's have a quick summary then, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Well, in the Chester Oaks, it's not original, but Diamonds and Rubies have shown a bit of decent form this season. Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, an all-conquering combination, and I think she's going to be pretty hard to beat. But what say you? Wasn't all that far behind Lucida last year in the Rockfell, and that's good form. In the Chester Cup, Zafayan Dermotwell doesn't have many runners here in the UK, as we know. The horses are running well, and these sorts of things probably been laid out for this contest. Whilst old Mubaratza, he will also, I think, enjoy being back on the Rudy. Speaking of which, B52, 2 wins at Chester from 2 starts. Frankie Dettori on board for Charles Hills, and he's got some listed form which would entitle him to win this race, whilst Confessional is another horse who'll enjoy being back at Chester as well. And the 3-year-old handicap's a good race. Secateur and John Gosden's Frankie Dettori teaming up should go pretty well and will be hard to beat as well, with Hernando's Hideaway, the favourite challenger, I think, with the step-up in trip right up his street.
Good work. Thank you very much, Stephen. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Stephen Powell on the opening day of the May meeting at Chester. You'll hear it on Racing Radio with Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott in the studio there live from 1:40 p.m. We have the first day at Chester. We also have Brighton and Kelso in the afternoon. Chelmsford and Uttoxeter will provide the action in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.